well-versed and very learned, but they're unable to teach. They're unable to give it over. And for that reason, the Torah has to specify that in addition to being a Talmud Chacham, who gave him the gift of being able to teach. The Baron Leib Steinman in the Yelis HaShachar gets a kasha here and makes a very nice point. He asks that there's a well-known quote from Rav Chaim Brisker. Rav Chaim used to say that if someone cannot explain something, it's a sign in the sky that he doesn't really understand it. If someone understands something, he should be able to explain it to others. If a person cannot explain it to others, it's a sign that he lacks in his fundamental understanding of the concept. And this is the basic idea with which we work in the yeshivas. However, this seems not to be true. It seems to be contradicted by this Ibn Ezra and Arachaim, who say a person could be a Talmud Chacham and yet be unable to teach. So Steinman answers by quoting a Gra in Mishlei. The Gra in Mishlei explains that in order to be able to teach is the very crucial ingredient that a teacher has to have. And that is Seder, to be misunderstood, to have things mapped out, planned out in an orderly way. Rav Chaim is right. If you and I are discussing a Svara, you can't explain the logic to me if you don't understand it. But to be a teacher, to be able to teach via packages of things, is something else that's very important. And that is that the various thoughts, as far as that you may have to be misunderstood, they have to be placed in the right order. The gift of being a teacher is the gift of being able to be misunderstood, to put in order whatever it is you have to teach, in a shir, in a drasha, in a speech, whatever it may be, it has to go in a very proper order. Rav Chaim used to say that in order for a person to deliver a speech, to deliver a drasha, a person has to prepare three things. Number one, what to say. Number two, what not to say. And number three, how to say it. And Rav Chaim would add, most of the time, the most important ingredient is to know what not to say. Many people who want to convey an idea or a thought confuse it with a lot of different thoughts that are mixed in, things that have nothing to do with the message. Other thoughts regarding circumstances of the story they're telling or anything else. And that confuses the teacher's ability to teach. What to say, what not to say, and how to say it. Listen to a person offering a speech the next time. Well, he may be very well organized. If he is not, you will notice that what happens is that he has thought about what his speech should contain. And he wondered if he should speak about A, B, or C. At the end, he decided to speak about A, but put in a little bit of B and a little bit of C. B and C make the entire speech ruined. If you focus on A, it would be a great speech. I'm not telling you to notice this for the purpose of knocking someone else, but for the purpose of improving your own ability. Focus on the theme. Something that has to do with the theme that clarifies it definitely belongs. What to say, what not to say, and how to say it. Say there is a very important part of a person being able to teach. That was the gift to the scholar. Okay, so much for Parshas. Let's move on to Parshas Pikudei. Parshas Pikudei is Shani. We actually, the very last words before Shani, and then continuing throughout the Parsha, we constantly have the message that Vayasu, the people made whatever it is they made, the big Kainish days, by the Chayshin, the various regarding that kind of war, Vayasu, Kashet Tziva Hashem is Maisha. It says over and over, Kashet Tziva Hashem is Maisha, as God commanded Maisha. If I'm not mistaken, this is at 8 times per day. Now, whatever they made in the big day Kuna, they did Kashet Tziva Hashem is Maisha. Baruch Haim HaKadosh has a number of shotim. One of them is a especially fascinating shot in Kashet Tziva Hashem is Maisha. By repeating this idea that they may created as God commanded the nation. Everything that was done as God commanded the nation. The response follows. It says that in the Kavana of the Big Day Kahuna, there were certainly very many deep Kavanas, deep meanings in the Big Day Kahuna. And as we all understand with any mitzvah, there's a depth to it and not be appreciated by the average person. Certainly something like Big Day Kahuna, just in the face of Mikdash, had an extraordinary depth. The people making the Big Day Kahuna said they were doing it lishma for the mitzvah of Big Day Kahuna. Which Kavana? Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Maisha. They're doing it lishma for the lishame of the Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Maisha. The Kavanas, which they themselves were incapable of, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu had revealed to Maisha. That was the Kavana that they put into the making of the Big Day Kahuna, despite the fact that they themselves were unaware of these Kavanas. Now this is important because for those who say L'Shem Yichud, and there are different versions of L'Shem Yichud in different places, but many people who have accustomed to say L'Shem Yichud before doing a mitzvah find that there's a nusach, there's a language that said that it should be Kilu Kivanti Kol HaKavanos. The person doing the mitzvah says to God, let it be as if I had all of the Kavanos, all of the thoughts that are necessary for the purpose of doing this mitzvah. Occasionally it says, Kilu kivanti kol ha-mitzvah kavanei shetiknu anshei kinesis ha-gdaila. The person says it should be as if I had all the kavanas of the great assembly of Gaonim who are misakin this. The Mishnah Eliyahu in the fourth chelik has a piece in which he questions how a person could say, Kilu kivanti kol ha-kavanes. What does that mean? And he explains it. He explains that the neshama pnimi of a Jew has the ability to understand all these concepts. We're not on the level to be totally in touch with our neshama pnimi. We are magushim. We have people who are connected to the physical world. Nevertheless, we have a right to say, Kilu kivanti kol ha-kavanes, which is something our neshama is connected to. What is the source for such a unique idea? According to the Rechayim HaKadosh, we have the source. The source is Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Maisha. This is what the Torah is telling us here in this spot. Before I move on, I'd like to share with you a question. Isn't it strange? We're going to lay by Yakel Pekudei. And in Pekudei, when we read about the different Big Day Kahuna, or even the parts of the Big Day Kahuna, we have this 18 times that it's mentioned, Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Maisha. Why don't we find the same thing in Vayakel, when each of the kelim of the Beis Hamikdash was made? Why doesn't it say Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Maisha? It says it once at the end when it's complete. Why not when each of them is made? What's the difference between the Big Day Kahuna and the Keli Klei HaMishkan? It's certainly something which begs explanation. We'll leave the question for now, as we still owe a vart for Parshas Parah. And therefore, let's move to Parshas Parah. The Parsha of the Parah Duma is, of course, in Parshas Chukas. And we will take out another Sefer Torah this week and read from Parshas Chukas the commandment of the Parah Duma. There's a problem. The Chumashim of the Torah are pretty well defined. Shmais being the exodus from Mitzrayim, the building of the Mishkan. Ayikra being Taras Kayanim, the mitzvahs of the Karbanis and the rules of Tumim Tahira. Bamidbar is primarily the story of different Averis, different trials and tribulations that took place in the period in the Midbar. And basically, from Baal HaEschad on, that's what it's all about. Ratzon Hashem. And the idea of a chayik is to accept Ratzon Hashem without having to question it, just with a full trust in God's will and God's desire. The avera, the sin of great people, is in their understanding of reasons for mitzvahs, and their mistake in extending it too far. Certainly, with Shlomo HaMelech, that's what happened. He understood the reasons for the mitzvahs HaMelech, the king's special mitzvahs, and that led him astray. And we find the same thing by other great people, where their sin can be understood in dealing with the purpose of the mitzvah. Kairach, too, sinned in not giving himself over totally to Ratzon Hashem. He thought he understood the reason for the greatness of Klal Yisrael. But he said, Kol Ha'eda Kulam Kedoshim. He rejected the idea that certain Jews would be greater than others. Be'meriva, too, was a mistake in understanding Ratzon Hashem. And therefore, the Paraduma belongs among the Averis that took place in the great Dar HaMidbar. All of the sins of the Meraglim as well, were sins that were based on a desire for holiness, for Kedusha, that was misplaced. The idea of Chayik belongs right in the middle of that. The lesson that we should do things because of God for them. As much as we understand the reason, that's not the time, that's learning time. And doing this is to it because it is the Ratzon Hashem. And so, that is the fundamental lesson of Bar Aduma, and certainly the very important lesson of its place in Kol Nishmak. I'd like to leave you with a question, a difficult one. Earlier in Parshas Truma, we learned about the building of the Aron, and the fact that there were badim, that there were staffs, sticks that held the Aron. And we were told there that Klal Yisrael was commanded to place these sticks, these badim, into the Aron. And in the Aron, specifically, we're told, right before Sheini in Parshas Truma, the Tabaisa Aron, you are badim, lo yasuru minenu. Once the badim were placed into the rings at the side of the Aron, they would remain there forever. They were placed there once and never ever to be removed. That's great. So now we're Parshas Vayakal B'Kudei. Let's learn about the time that the badim were placed. It was only done once. Where was that placing of the badim? Where did it take place? We have a problem. In Parshas Vayakal, Perek Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Hey, we read, Vayas Badei Yatzeshitim, Yitzat Leisam Zahav, that Bezalel made the staffs that were going to be alongside the Aron. And he put these sticks, these staffs, into the ring. So this is where it is. Perek Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Hey, the one and only time it ever happened that the sticks were placed into the Aron was right here. When we read Parshas B'Kudei, well, if you don't remember what you saw in Vayakal, you won't have any kashas. But if your brain is still functioning, and you get to Perek Mem, Pasuk Chaf, pretty far into Parshas B'Kudei, you will be puzzled to read. Vayikach, Vayite Nesaidus, Elo, alright? That the Luchas were placed into the Aron. Vayosem as Abadim al Ha'aron. And then the Badim were placed on the Aron. Again. Twice. Once in Vayaka, once in B'Kudei. It's the same thing. Why say it twice? Very, very strange. This is something which needs an hesber. You need some whipped cream on the kasha. Go to the end of Parshas Bamidbar, Perek Dalet, Pasuk Hey, where it seems to relate that the badim b'samu badav, that the badim were placed there, the Pasuk Hey above, and therefore that only serves to make the kasha stronger, something that's certainly a mitzvah liyashem. As you know, this week we have switched to daylight savings time. I'd just like to add two reminders, two warnings, one to the ladies, one to the men. Now that we have daily savings time, many people will be having an early Shabbos. Women, remember, you cannot be yaitzei the mitzvah of lighting Shabbos candles before plaga mincha. Even if your husband goes to an early mincha, and you normally light candles before he leaves the shul, be careful. If it's before plag, well, this man of plaga mincha, which this week is approximately 6 o'clock, it's too early to light. The general rule of thumb is to light when your husband is being the Kabbal Shabbos. If your husband goes to mincha, that's about 20 or 25 minutes after his davening begins.
Leo, you're not Mekayim Mitzvah Savlaka when you light early. That's my reminder to the women. To the men, I'd like to remind you that Shabbos day is now an hour longer, actually an hour and 10 minutes longer, getting 10 minutes longer each week. Don't waste your Shabbos day, a very long Shabbos day, from the end of the Suda till Havdalah. We'll go to 6, 7, 8 hours. Don't spend all that time sleeping. Make sure that you spend the extra time in the Beis Medrash. If you do it the first week, this week, it'll seem like you have a whole lot of time. Do it. If you do it, you get in the habit of doing it. People who are wasting the Shabbos day are unfortunately wasting the very few hours, optional hours, you have during the week. Kedusha Shabbos, Yom Zeh Mechubah, Niko Yamim, it's a wonderful day. For what is Yom Zeh Mechubah? It's Mechubah day. You should spend it in bed with your eyes closed. Chalila. Spend it in the Beis Medrash. Put in the extra time. You have an extra hour. Make it a 1 hour Seder. Take a Masechta. Do an Amid a week. Do a Chazara. Use your Shabbos well. A good Shabbos to win it all.